CBSI in the World, I'm John Batch with Serhii Plokhii, professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard University, the author of the new book, The Russo-Ukrainian War, The Return of History, written between the winter of 22 and the winter of 23, the war, 500 days plus, unknown future. We are discussing the roots of it because that will somehow be present in when there is an end of it, or at least a ceasefire. Professor, Vladimir Putin becomes critical here because it's his authority that drives the tragedy. He becomes president in May of 2000 with a constitution that empowers him, although it limits him to two terms. Later on, of course, that will become something he can manipulate because the presidency in Russia, thanks to Boris Yeltsin and vouchsafed by Bill Clinton, is much more powerful than our understanding of checks and balances here in the United States. That gives Putin the power both to play the friend of the U.S. during the war on terror and also move towards the assumption that he has the right to dictate who can join NATO, who can join EU, who can be Western regarding and who cannot. You identify April of 2008 as an important summit for NATO in Bucharest. At that time, Georgia and Ukraine both wanted to join NATO. What happened?
What happened was split within the alliance. The United States at that time, led by President George W. Bush, was in favor of inviting Ukraine and Georgia joining the alliance. And part of the Western allies, in particular Germany, opposed to this idea. So what happened as the result of the summit was the worst outcome possible for Ukraine and Georgia. They invited to summit. Mr. Putin traveled to summit as well, trying to lobby the European members of alliance to say no to Ukraine and Georgia. At the end, alliance never reached an agreement. So there was a promise given to Ukraine and Georgia that one day they would become the member of alliance, but there was no specifics on when that day would come. But there were a lot of specifics in Mr. Putin's thinking about the whole issue. Within a few months after the Bucharest summit, he starts war in Georgia in 2008, invading the territory and de facto annexing parts of Georgian territory, making Georgia ineligible to join an alliance because the country had a territorial dispute, because part of the territory of the country was under de facto occupation. And the war with Ukraine came 6 years later, in 2014. So the outcome of Bucharest summit was that Ukraine and Georgia really counted on the Western support, went public about their desire to join NATO, and in that way they exposed themselves to the future Russian attack with really no guarantees, assurances, or even hope for significant and meaningful Western support. And when I say meaningful Western support, I mean military one with the weapons and equipment, not just a diplomatic one.
The 2008 tearing apart of Georgia, a foreshadowing of what happens with Ukraine a few years later, happens during the presidential election cycle in the U.S. You will all recall that Barack Obama was successful and his vice president was Joe Biden. Joe Biden was in Ukraine at that time and since then has been very well informed of Ukraine. However, was in Ukraine and also visited Georgia during the conflict. I mention that also because there are many events we're moving past. There was internal debate in Ukraine always about eastward regarding or westward regarding. By 2013, it was very much the wish of Moscow, the intention, the ambition of Moscow to embrace Ukraine on the Eastern regarding, having to do with the Eurasian Union. At the same time, the European Union was offering membership, at least preparation for membership, to Ukraine and Georgia. This leads to the Maidan Revolution of late 2013, early 2014. And we need to involve ourselves with a man named Yanukovych. What do we need to know about him? Because he acts so badly representing Ukraine. Was he an agent of Moscow? Was he weak? Is there any one explanation for his conduct in those months?
Mr. Yanukovych was running for the presidency of Ukraine in 2004, was backed by not just at that time sitting president of Ukraine, Leonid Kuchma, but also by Vladimir Putin. I remember those days visiting Moscow and being shocked by the fact that the propaganda for Yanukovych was, the posters were available, very visible in downtown Moscow. And the Ukrainian society actually rejected the falsified results of the elections that were supposed to give the presidency to Yanukovych. Out of that came the so-called Orange Revolution. And that was viewed by President Putin not just as a setback. That was viewed by him as a threat to his power in Russia itself. If people can reject falsified elections, his days would be numbered. He wouldn't be here today if the population of Russia would behave in the way how Ukrainians behaved in 2004.
We have 1 minute, Professor. Go ahead.
So Yanukovych loses, democracy in Ukraine wins. But a few years later, in 2010, Yanukovych comes back, again very much with the support of Russia. And in 2013, he is pressured by Russia and also bribed by the promise of $15 billion loan, bribed not to sign association agreement with European Union. And once again, Ukrainians actually are not prepared to accept what the Yanukovych offers them. They want orientation toward Europe, toward European Union, and they protest. That's the beginning of the so-called Euro Revolution, or the Revolution of Dignity, in the fall of 2013. Which was a prelude, a stepping stone toward the annexation of the Crimea and the start of the war in 2014.
The book is The Russo-Ukrainian War. Serhii Plokhii is the author. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.